All financial advice provided on this show is for entertainment and educational purposes only. The financial ideas and strategies discussed are only provided as a starting point for a conversation about money matters. With regard to your particular investments and financial strategies, consult your financial planner, CPA, or investment professional. All your financial decisions are yours and yours alone to make and subsequently are solely your responsibility. The information that is supplied through the context of the radio program and any repurposing of its content by the host or network is a combination and collection of solid financial investment understanding, opinion, and comments. This network, show, and its host are not liable for financial strategies, outcomes that you employ in any manner that result in any kind of loss. Shares of corporate sponsors may be the subject of buy or sell recommendations in Jay Taylor's newsletter in accordance with Jay's objective opinion.
Welcome to Turning Hard Times into Good Times with your host, Jay Taylor. This hour will help investors fix issues and achieve personal gain. Now, here's your host, Jay Taylor.
Welcome to Turning Hard Times into Good Times. I am your host, Jay Taylor, and I'm speaking to you from New York City on this, the 12th day of September, 2017. I do want to remind you that I'm the editor of Jay Taylor's Gold, Energy, and Tech Stocks newsletter. It's a weekly letter, also with a monthly summary of the best of the weeks, and you can go to miningstocks.com, to subscribe to that letter. Certainly, we're having a lot more fun these days with gold doing relatively well, and the gold share is doing even better. Today, Novo Resources is finding its legs after some corrections, and it's trading at about $3.60 or so in U.S. money, doing extremely well. And I hope to have Quentin Henning on with me sometime in the near future to talk more about that. And what he's doing there in Australia. I want to encourage you also to consider subscribing to Chen Lin's letter. Chen is really hot again on Sorrento Therapeutics and Pan Orient Energy, and he has induced me to buy some shares and make sure I have some in my portfolio. You might want to consider thinking about subscribing to Chen's letter. Go to chenpicks.com, chenpicks.com. I want to thank each of you for listening to this show, making it one of the more popular shows in the Voice America Business Channel. Also want to encourage you to send your questions, comments, criticisms, and praises along to questionsfortaylor@gmail.com, questions4taylor@gmail.com. And of course, we want to thank our sponsors for making this show economically viable. The only reason we're able to talk to you and spend the time we spend to put this show together is because of them. New Range Gold Corp., RN Resources, Novo Resources, Genesis Metals, Osprey Gold Development, and Klondike Gold Corp. are this week's sponsors. I've titled today's show, Timing the Crash. Dan Oliver, Michael Oliver, no relationship as far as we know, and Robert Carrington return. Last week, Austrian economist Dr. Mark Thornton told us that Austrian economics does not provide a theory about when central bank created bubbles will implode. That they will is no doubt, but the timing is very much a problem. To an extent, technical analyst Michael Oliver, who will be with me momentarily, disagreed with that, in fact, and his track record suggests that you may not be able to pick the exact top or bottom of a market, but Michael's proprietary structure and momentum tools seem to have worked exceptionally well for him and his subscribers, and that's why he's on the show almost every week. I would strongly suggest you go to olivermsa.com, olivermsa.com, and you can click on a link there right at the top of the page to request a sample of his work. Well, from my perspective, it's quite simple. I want to know if I'm in a significant bull market or a significant bear market. I'm willing to allow for some ups and downs along the way, but what is the trend? Am I going lower left to upper right or upper left to lower right? I want to know that. And Michael has been extremely good in helping me feel secure about the position I'm taking with any given market. So Dan Oliver will be with me in the second half of today's show to discuss anecdotal evidence that the end of this credit-induced bull market in stocks and bonds is, in fact, well, at least he believes it is, in fact, nearing its end. And he will suggest what you should do to limit the carnage that is sure to follow during the impending bust. And then right after we finish talking to Michael, who's I'm going to say hello to in just a moment, Robert Carrington will update us on the program that is being the drill program that is being put into effect by New Range Gold Corp. And they seem to be on to a very exciting new gold discovery in Nevada. Anyway, right now, Michael's with us. Thanks for joining me again, Michael.
Good to be back, Jay.
Always good to have you. And I might, you know, again, Momentum Structural Analysis, that's MSA, OliverMSA.com. I'm looking right at the website now, and if you go there, right near the top, it's contact sample reports. Click on that, name and email, and Michael will send you a sample of his work so you can get a sense of why he's so good and why I have him on this show all the time. Actually, if you just have followed this man over the last couple of years since I've had him on my show, you will recognize that he really does provide security in terms of understanding whether you're on the right side of a market or not. So, Michael, the federal government and governors of the states of Texas and Florida, they've assured us that they're not going to spare any spending to try to fix everything up again and save lives. Okay, well, you can sort of say, well, that's a good thing, I suppose. But the markets seem to believe that, well, you know, when the first hurricane came along, oh, well, we're just going to spend endless amounts of money. Fed has to ease up. Lower interest rates in the stock market, and gold did very well and so forth. Now the Fed's come out basically and saying, no, don't get that idea. We're going to keep raising rates. We have to keep raising rates. We're going to normalize. The economy's doing very well and all that, et cetera, et cetera. What is your take on this thing? I mean, do you see the Fed being able to turn things around? I mean, what are your thoughts on this, Michael? What are the markets telling you about interest rates and the stock market?
Well, I think the stock market is... we had a report this weekend, or just the other day, called Deja Vu. And I explained that there's two kinds of tops. There's the instant kill top, and there's the arduous top. Most tops are arduous, especially in the stock market. And even in gold, for example, 2011 top didn't break down until 2013. Okay.
Yep.
I think gold, for example, is out of the arduous process and now in motion for a strong second up leg here. The last year and a half since last February, that it's been base building, proving it made a higher low, and now emerging. The only halt in gold right now is a simple, you can do it with a crayon, across weekly and monthly highs of the last couple of years. They're selling it there. Momentum is already out above this level, so I wouldn't regard it except as a temporary hurdle. Stocks. S&P 500 has done damage to itself in the last month in that recent down move, which in price terms wasn't that serious. We've had a lot more serious sell-offs in the last year and a half, more serious than that one. But that one broke some things of a long-term nature. Not enough for me to say, okay, it's over here. Right now it's done. It's going down here. I don't think the stock market is going to produce serious decline, the kind the public sits up and notices, until next year. I think that between now and the year end, we're going to have more confusion, more arduousness in terms of which way is it going? Is it still up? Is it, you know, that kind of stuff. I think the key factor here is going to be an ambush from the interest rate markets, and I mean the government debt markets, not the high yield stuff that frequently, you know, has bursts and sells off.
Sure.
T-bonds, I think, have already topped. I think yields are going much higher. The current rally in T-bonds in the U.S., lower yields marginally over the last 6 months, is a counter-trend rally. What I'm watching more importantly is the JGBs, the government, Japanese government bonds, they also have futures, and the German Bunds, 10-year German bonds. Both of those debt markets, you know, major Western government debt markets, have the kind of annual momentum topping patterns that scare me, could enrich you. And they're fully justified because, you know, if there's been a bubble, the biggest bubble of all are the government debt markets, where they've taken yields in Germany and Japan to under zero for a while, and Japan's still there. It's ridiculous. It's off the page bubble. When it breaks, and I don't care what the central banks say or do, I really don't care about their policy statements, the market will grab those markets by the ankles and take them where they need to go. And the structures that I see on annual momentum of the JGBs and the bunds say, you're doomed. You're not going to hold above these structures for much longer. I think that for sure they will break down, meaning rates will begin to rise in those two countries in a marked way, publicly recognizable way, next year. And I think that is the big wave that really hits the stock markets, is when rates start to rise regardless of central bank statements or policy.
Yeah, yeah. The market will be in control.
Where nature takes over. Yeah, where nature takes over.
Yeah, the market will be in control.
I think the commodities, the laying in the weeds commodities like the grains, to some extent oil, are going to come back big time. And I suspect that comes early next year. That they could also be in an arduous process of sideways type of behavior between now and the end of the year. But don't let that seemingly go to sleep tone fool you.
Yeah. Well, Michael, Dan Oliver is going to be with us later in the day, and I expect to ask him, you know, he noted that in 2008, during the crash, we saw a 30% decline in the price of gold immediately because people sell what they have to sell to be able to pay the margin clerks when they get their margin calls. But then, of course, gold rose very dramatically. Now, he thinks this time it could be different, and he gives his reasons. We'll talk to him about that. But so do you see any danger for gold right now? I mean, you seem to be turning very bullish on it. So even if the Fed continues to raise rates here, you don't see any problem with that.
No, I think there's an asset class shift. Gold usually leads those, both downside and upside. I think that the 2011 peak in gold and the sharp sell-off that followed, remember the S&P had a sharp sell-off as well into late 2011. Then they divorced ways. But for many years there, up through the 2011 peak, stocks and gold moved together. Gold outproduced stocks. It did better holding gold from the 2009 low when we had a sharp sell-off in 2009, 2008 in gold along with stocks. They were moving in sync. Gold was outperforming. That outperform trend ended in 2011, and they separated not just in performance but in net trend direction. I think they are separated. I think gold turning up is a sign that stocks are going to top, and I think there will be an opposite net trend directions. And that if a stock sell-off occurs, I don't think gold will suffer because of it. I think it will be viewed as an alternative place to be and not a sympathetic market.
All right. Just one quick in 30 seconds or a minute at most here, Michael. What about oil? You did some work on your weekend report about oil. Oil was sort of, where does it stand in the commodity complex overall?
It had been strong coming off its $26 low in 2016 and ran up to 54. So a nice first leg up. Most of this year has been down. We dropped from 54 down to 42 area. Now we're 48 and leveled off. I have some things that if you can get back up to about 50 on a weekly close, you could launch on up to 60. But I'm beginning to wonder whether or not it's going to wait till next year, because oil has a unique annual situation that says if it just lays in the weeds here, and you find that oil is where it is right now, come January the 2nd, whenever we start trading futures next year, annual momentum is going to blow its cork. And it's a well-defined structure, and frankly, if I were a bull at oil, I would like it to go to sleep. I would also like the grains to go to sleep. Just go sideways, twist and turn between now and January, because if you do, when you look at the annual momentum charts, forget the price charts, you see something totally different, and it says when you get to 2018 and the three-year average changes, the structures of momentum are going to blow through tops, going to blow through the top of bases, in other words, and then a sharp bull trend should emerge. So that's why I'm beginning to think most of the action that everybody's looking for is pending, and it's going to unleash in early 2018.
All right. Well, we'll have to keep up with you. Hopefully, you'll be around to help us, Michael, to sort of see what's coming. You certainly, with your momentum, usually are ahead of the prices and very remarkably correct on almost everything I've seen from you. So thanks again, Michael, for being with us.
Thank you.
We'll look forward to talking to you again next week if possible. All right, folks. Well, don't go away. Robert Carrington's coming to us now after the break, and New Range Gold Corp has some spectacular gold assays that they've reported, and they're starting their Phase 2 drill program. We want to find out, you know, what the upside is here with Robert Carrington's company, New Range Gold Corp. So don't go away. We'll be right back.
Think you've seen everything there is to see in online television? Let us surprise you. Visit voiceamerica.tv today for sports, health, business, and more on demand 24/7.
Orin Resources is a Canadian-based gold exploration company focused on the company's flagship Committee Bay project, located in northern Canada, one of the best mining jurisdictions in the world. The company's current resource, outlined by drilling thus far, stands at 1.1 million ounces of gold at over 8 grams per ton. Orin is operated by the same team that founded Asanko Gold, which is constructing a major gold mine in West Africa, and Caden Resources, which was recently purchased in November for over $200 million.
New Range Gold Corp is a Canadian junior explorer focused on its recently acquired flagship Pamlico Gold Project, located in Nevada, one of the best mining jurisdictions in the world. Known as one of Nevada's highest grade gold districts, Pamlico was held by private interests for most of its history and remains largely unexplored. Drilling by New Range is already confirming the legendary grades of the district with intercepts up to 341 grams gold per ton. Well financed with no debt, New Range is unlocking shareholder value at Pamlico and trades under TSX symbol NRG.
We're always talking business.
Talk to an expert.
Call now, toll free, 866-472-5790. That's 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.